From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Hey, man, relax. Take a chill, Bill. I'm Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. We have a fine show lined up for you today. Later on, we're going to be talking to Dr. Michael Rosbach, one of the winners of the 2017 Nobel Prize in Medicine. That's the one awards show where no one cares what they wear. You are all winners to us, though, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now, let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Becca Love from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, Becca Love. What do you do there in Brooklyn?
I'm actually a fashion historian and archivist.
What? A fashion historian and archivist? What exactly does that mean?
So I work for the Tommy Hilfiger Archive, and I'm the historian, and I take care of all of the clothes that have been produced and that are popular, like Aaliyah's jeans and Gigi Hadid's Oscar outfits and all the other things that fall under fashion.
So you're like a clothes librarian.
Yes, that's a perfect way to put it. I'm a clothes librarian. And, you know, in my off time, I read highly exciting articles about mummified socks and other elements of fashion through the years.
Wow.
I can find mummified socks in my daughter's room.
I know. Well, Becca.
Definitely catalog them, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Becca, let me introduce you to our panel. This week, first up, it's a comedian who'll be performing at the Montreal Comedy Nest February 8th through 10th, and she's the host of the trivia podcast Go Fact Yourself on the Maximum Fun Network. It's Helen Hong.
Hey. Hi, Becca Love.
Next, it's a humorist and storyteller who'll be appearing with NPR's own Ophira Eisenberg and other Moth performers on March 9th at the Next Stage in Putney, Vermont. It's Tom Baudette.
Hello, Becca.
And a comedian performing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Pabst Theater on March 3rd. It's Paula Poundstone. Becca, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off with yet another round of Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotations that we found in the week's news. Your job, explain or identify that twice. Do it, you'll win our prize, the voice from anybody in the show you might prefer. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right. For your first quote, here's the President of the United States.
45.6 million people watched, the highest number in history.
So that was Mr. Trump cheerfully lying about the record not set by people who watched what this week?
The State of the Union.
Yes, it was the State of the Union address. It was exciting. It was President Trump's first official State of the Union address. He said, as you heard, more people watched it than any other State of the Union in history. The actual ratings, of course, say otherwise, but don't worry, Congressman Devin Nunes has written a secret memo proving that the Nielsen Company is part of the deep state.
Mm. Wow.
Now, as per usual, this has become pretty much the entirety of what people talk about with the State of the Union. Half the room stood up and applauded after everything the president said, half the room did not. With Trump, though, you could see it actually getting to him. One of his favorite qualities in a person is that person standing up and clapping for him. And this is true. He was so annoyed at the reaction, he started gesturing for the Democrats.
Yeah.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Stand up, stand up.
And he put in things in the speech that he knew the Democrats would have to stand up for or look bad. Things like, we love troops. And everybody who thinks I'm sexy, stay seated.
I think that's why he kept clapping for himself.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've never seen anyone clap their own speech before as much as he did. But it was right into...
And don't you think he just claps for everything he does and had nothing to do with whether he's making a speech or not? Like, he claps toileting. He claps like as if he's still working on that and encouraging himself.
So he gets up, looks in the bowl, and goes...
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
If you listen closely, you can hear him say big boy.
Yeah. It was, by the way, and this is interesting, it was not the most watched State of the Union. We know that. It was the third longest State of the Union address, though, in terms of time.
It was so long.
It was an hour. It was like almost 2 hours, which is the longest Mike Pence has pretended to be interested in something since his honeymoon.
If he, you know what, if he is not a Stepford wife, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
That look, I mean, we've for years we've seen like the spouse stand beside the, you know, and do the
good
goofy,
wife.
Right.
Yeah,
and
we
the,
know that.
You know, and the horrible frozen look. Pence does it like no one I've ever seen do it.
Oh, yeah.
He is, he should be like the spokesperson for plexiglass.
And no. To be able to make that face for that long, I mean, it was so long. It was like Lord of the Rings, but all the orcs were wearing suits. Like, I was like, is this still going on?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I heard, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that Pence trains for these things.
How does he train? Does he train?
He has a cardboard cutout of himself, and he sort of competes with it.
He's a stare-off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's in front of a mirror, he props the cardboard cutout, and then he has himself also in front of the mirror, and he sees, you know, for as many hours as he can, like, who moves first.
He's like, all right, Becca. Becca, here is your next quote.
Make America drool again.
That was how some unkind people on Twitter reacted to Joseph Kennedy III this week, as he did what?
Gave the rebuttal.
Yes, he delivered the Democratic response to the State of the Union. That's very good. You're right. Yes. Joseph Kennedy III. So Joseph Kennedy delivered this heartfelt speech about America and the way he sees it and where he wants it to come back from and, you know, the healing of America. But the only thing people could focus on, those who watched it, was his weirdly wet lips. It was strange. It looked like right before he went on live national TV, he kissed a large tub of Vaseline for luck.
Well, I sympathize with that. I'm sure he didn't want to do a Rubio, you know, where
the water,
right?
Grabbing the water.
My mouth dries up, and when it does, and your lips start sticking to your teeth.
Well, he says it was too much chapstick, but maybe he just fell asleep during the State of the Union like everybody else, and it was just leftover drool.
It's a shame because he's a handsome fella.
That's true. I mean, as you say, he was promising. He comes from a great political lineage, but he's going to have to spend the rest of his life living down chapstick aquitic.
Too soon? Too soon for you guys?
All right, Becca. Becca, here is your last quote.
I just got to sit here and look ugly for an hour.
That was Philadelphia Eagle tackle Fletcher Cox responding to reporters at a media day before what big event coming up this weekend?
That would be the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl! Yay! Congratulations to both the New England Patriots, who have the most obnoxious fans in the game, and the Philadelphia Eagles, who have the most violent fans. The game's in Minneapolis, so they're going to have to be nice, Philadelphia fans. So the Philadelphia fans are going to throw batteries at the opposing players, but now they have to be rechargeable ones.
I heard after one of the recent playoff games that a Phillies fan got kicked out of the stadium and then punched a police horse.
He did!
And I was like, what?
He punched the horse.
You punched the horse?
But no one talks about what the horse did.
Yeah. The image of football has really changed. It used to be the most popular sport in America by huge margins. But it's now actually become, according to surveys, the most divisive. America is basically divided into two groups. There are people who loathe the New England Patriots on the one hand. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, there's Tom Brady.
Well, when I was flying out here this week, the pilot pointed out if we look to our out the left side windows, we'd see a 767, which was a chartered flight carrying the friends and family of the of the Patriots out to Minneapolis, and everybody didn't just looked at each other like, so what?
Yeah, people
like we're supposed to rush to the side.
Well, people didn't rush over. All the DEF side rushed over to the ABC side.
Right.
Move! I want to see the plane with the friends and family of the Patriots.
Giselle might have been on that plane. Right. Bill, how did Becca do on our quiz?
Becca stands tall with 3-0. Good going, Becca.
Congratulations, Becca.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Becca.